It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, we'll take stock of standardized testing in Wisconsin and beyond and hear about a growing movement that's calling for less emphasis on those mandatory tests.
Right now, we're continuing our series of candidate forums here on Central Time, and today we're taking a look at the race for the state's 6th congressional district. It's the district's first open race in decades, with veteran Congressman Tom Petri announcing that he's not seeking another term.
There are three candidates looking to take that seat. We've already heard from Libertarian Gus Ferendorf, and Democratic candidate Mark Harris will join us in just a moment. The Republican candidate in the race is Glenn Grothman. He was unable to join us for an interview here on Central Time.
So we turn to Mark Harris now. He's the Winnebago County Executive and the Democratic candidate in the race for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. He joins us by phone. Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Veronica, it's my pleasure.
So, Mark, we're going to start with the same question we just asked our Libertarian candidate. Why are you running for this seat for Congress?
Well, I want to address the fiscal situation in Washington in an intelligent way, and I also want to seek real solutions to the real problems that people care about, things such as preserving Social Security in its present form for current and future retirees.
Now, Wisconsin's 6th congressional district seat has been held by Republicans since 1967, so it seems fair to say that you may be facing an uphill battle in this race. With that in mind, how are you trying to win over this district's voters?
Well, while the district has traditionally been Republican, it's had a very moderate Republican in this office for a long time, Tom Petri. Tom was a quiet, soft-spoken, effective congressperson, and you know, he was a sponsor of the Earned Income Tax Credit. He did lunch counter sit-ins with the NAACP in his early years. He was a truly moderate Republican. I'm a very moderate Democrat, and my opponent has, you know, staked out a position on the far right for this election. And I think the voters are going to decide that I'm much more like Tom Petri, I'm much more like the people they've traditionally sent to Washington than my opponent is.
Now, across the board, from state Senate to Congress, there are two big issues that have emerged of importance for a lot of people who are watching, and those are jobs and the economy. So we'll start off with jobs. What role do you think Congress can play in spurring job creation in Wisconsin and beyond?
Well, most new jobs come from small and startup companies, and the problem they're having is that there's very little access to venture capital or working capital. So what the federal government can do is help out with the credit needs for those businesses, perhaps through the Small Business Administration.
And since the recession, the economy has bounced back some. People would maybe like to see more from the economy. As a member of Congress, what would you do to accelerate the pace of economic recovery?
Well, certainly what we talked about with the lack of credit for small and growing businesses. But I think raising and indexing the minimum wage could also stimulate the economy. The proposal I make is a little different than the one you hear most of the time. I would like to see us index minimum wage to about 42% of the prior year's average hourly wage. And then any time it would drop below 40% of the prior year average hourly wage, that it would automatically be adjusted back to 42%.
And as far as the federal budget goes, there are concerns about the growing national debt and some people saying the government is spending too much money. What policies would you pursue to get that budget back on track?
Well, I think there is a recovery going on, and that is generating increases in revenues. And we have to make sure that the bulk of those new and increasing revenues are used to close the gap between what we're bringing in revenue and what we're spending. Now, there actually was some good news in the last fiscal year that just ended at the end of September, and that's that the deficit for that year was about $483 billion. That's an enormous amount of money, but really less than what was expected as a deficit, and it seems to be on a favorable trend. So where we are right now is that, you know, for fiscal 2014, we spent about $4 trillion and brought in about $3.5 trillion. For 2015, we want that gap to be smaller. And perhaps the receipts will come in $3.6, $3.7 trillion. and spending might be as high as 4.2. But we've got to gradually close that gap, but in a way that doesn't cause a recession.
Are there particular spending cuts that you would want to pursue?
Oh, there's isolated items that you can find. There was a jet fighter that was so modified by the different forces that in the end it ended up being too heavy for its single engine. The program should just be scrapped. You now have a jet that nobody wants. You can find isolated instances. I think we have to continue to hold back on earmarks, and that's where individual congressmen get specific spending for their districts. I don't think we're in a position to continue doing that. We need to hold those back. But the real secret is just making sure that the new revenues that come about as a result of growth in the economy are devoted to closing that gap between the receipts and the expenses.
And if you got to Congress and the numbers weren't adding up the way you liked, would you be in support of raising taxes?
Not income taxes. I'm not income tax increase. But I would be willing to increase the maximum wage base subject to the Social Security taxes because we need to ensure that the Social Security system is solvent in its present form for current and future retirees. So I would be willing to see that wage base raised in order to keep that system strong.
Now, on a related budget note, as we talk about things like Social Security and Medicare, they face an unclear future at the moment. What do you think needs to happen specifically in order for these programs to stay solvent?
Well, Medicare is the tougher of the two problems. And one of the things that can be done with Medicare is to allow it to bargain on pharmaceutical prices, and that would result in a substantial savings and would help improve its condition. With regard to Social Security, you know, Social Security has actually collected something like $2.7 trillion more than it's paid out. The problem is more of a long-term problem. With changes in the demographics, the number of people working will drop to a lower ratio to the number retired than it had been in the past. You know, perhaps over time dropping to like 2 or 1.8 workers per retiree. And when that happens, you need to have more money injected into the system to make sure the full benefits can be paid, or else the benefits would have to drop to 70% of the promised level. The first step to doing that is raising that maximum wage base. And it's actually drifted below the percentage of wages it used to cover in the past. At one time, it covered 90% of all wages. Now there's a great deal of wages beyond that maximum, so it needs to be readjusted.
We're talking right now with congressional candidate Mark Harris. He's a Democratic candidate for Congress in Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. If you've got a question for Mark or you're wondering where he stands on a particular issue, you could reach us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, and you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Right now, we're hosting a candidate forum with Mark Harris. He's the Democratic candidate for Congress in Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. If you've got a question for Mark or you want to hear his thoughts on a particular issue, you can reach us right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can shoot us an email to talk@WPR.org. And we'll take a caller now. We've got Marilyn joining us from Milwaukee. Hey, Marilyn.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Harris.
Hi.
I have a question regarding taxation for large corporations, something that was rescinded a while back. I'm not totally familiar with it, and no doubt you are, but taxation for all corporations.
Well, one of the things that's been in the news a lot lately is that our top marginal tax rate is higher than many foreign countries, but most foreign countries have a flat corporate rate, and the U.S. federal rate is a graduated rate. So if you take the average amount paid by corporations, it really is not above the foreign countries, But if for competitive reasons we need to, we could go to a flatter corporate tax rate, one that didn't have as high a top rate, but didn't have as low of beginning rates. You could even go to a flat rate, perhaps 20%, and you'd be competitive with foreign countries. I do have, though, problems with always giving breaks to large businesses, and or maybe making breaks in narrow categories for business. For instance, at the state level here, my opponent has passed tax credits that will virtually eliminate income tax on manufacturing and agriculture, and then the rest of the state is going to be left holding the bag when the state revenues are insufficient to cover their bills. And I would hate to see the same thing happen at a federal level, well, where one category of corporation or business is selected to have all of their taxes eliminated with other people left to make up their share.
Thank you for that call, Marilyn. Appreciate it. And you can join us with your questions for Mark Harris at 800-642-1234. Now, when the next Congress convenes, immigration is another big issue on the table. There seems to be bipartisan agreement that some reform is needed, but there is not consensus between the parties on how exactly to accomplish that. So what are your thoughts on changing, fixing the immigration system?
Well, first off, let me say that some people are looking at immigration incorrectly. They're worried about people coming across the border from Mexico, and that is one aspect of immigration, and we do need to gain control of our border. But there's many other aspects of immigration, and in fact, something like 44% of the new startups in Silicon Valley are by foreign-born individuals. We also have many people in our universities here that have learned hard-to-find skills attending our universities, and we're making them go home when we really need them to enhance our economy here. And what happens is you send them home, and they end up creating businesses that compete with us and grow jobs in their home countries rather than growing jobs here. Wisconsin, in 6th District in particular, has a lot of agriculture. Most of our cows are milked by foreign-born individuals. Much of our crops are harvested by foreign individuals. And there can be positive aspects of immigration. So the way to address this is to have an expanded guest worker program so that we can make sure that people are working above the table for fair wages and with the right safety standards, and to look for those immigrants that are going to benefit our economy and possibly grow employment opportunities for all of us. So it can be a positive thing if it's done right.
Now, moving on, we're going to take a look at health care next. As it stands, the Affordable Care Act is law, and unless it's repealed, it's not going to go away anytime in the near future. How do you feel about the law? Are you happy with it?
Well, I'm open-minded to consider reasonable, constructive modifications of the law. There's a few issues of it. I certainly think when people go to the website to sign on, they need to have more information about the availability of physicians under the options before them in their area. But there's some things that are really good about the Affordable Care Act that we kind of forget that they're in there. For instance, being able to cover our children to age 26 through our employer, eliminating the lifetime $1 million cap that so many insurance policies had in the past, so that if you have a chronic illness, you don't run out of insurance before you've recovered. And also the pre-existing conditions that used to make it so hard for someone with a sick family member to change jobs, because changing jobs could cause them to lose their health insurance. People forget how bad those situation was before those problems were addressed by the Affordable Care Act. So there's good things in the Affordable Care Act that should be preserved, and it would be just plain crazy to throw the whole thing out, without having a suitable alternative ready to put in its place. So I say, let's make improvements to it, let's make it better, but let's not throw it out and have to start all over again.
Well, we'll move to our callers now, and we have Jim on the line joining us from Franklin. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
My question has to do with the Affordable Care Act. Why are our federal employees, why are our state employees, why are our congressmen, why are our senators and people holding office not required to, you know, given the option to be on the Affordable Care Act,
or given
options, you know, as part of their hiring? You know, if they're working for the state, federal government, this is a, federal Health Care Act, why aren't they being covered rather than spending, you know, vast amounts of money for other private ones?
Got your question, Jim. Thank you. And Mark Harris, what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm a county executive. My employees are covered largely under the health insurance that we offer through the county. They do contribute towards that insurance. But I suppose an option the county would have would be to end our insurance and then allow the employees to seek coverage through the Affordable Care Act. And, of course, the county would then have to pay taxes for not providing that insurance. So it's an option you could look at. Personally, I'm satisfied with the private insurance that the...
Okay, and we're going to move on to foreign policy now. One of the biggest threats that's currently facing the United States is the terrorist group ISIS, and the next Congress will have some big decisions about how to handle that threat and how to proceed. Would you authorize the use of American military force against the group?
You know, I think it would be a mistake to send in U.S. ground troops. And again, you know, the ISIS situation developed over a long time, but what it stems from is the Sunni population in Iraq feeling excluded from the central government when Maliki was in charge. And it was something that was foreseeable because it was a democracy. He depended on the votes of the Shiite majority to retain power, and the Shiite majority was under heavy influences from Iran. And it was inevitable that the Sunni population would feel discriminated against and that they would, in fact, be discriminated against under that system. So there was a power vacuum with nobody representing the Sunni. And unfortunately, by having that lack of representation and power, that allowed an extremely radical group to step in their place. So the first step to ending the ISIS problem would be constructing some sort of alternative for the Sunni community to ISIS. I do support airstrikes at this time, but I do not think putting American boots on the ground would be the right decision for us. And, you know, the same type of Sunni-Shia strife is playing out in neighboring Syria, where President Assad is from a Shia group, Alawites, and the majority of the population is Sunni, and that's really the conflict that underlies all these other conflicts.
As we wrap up, Mark, can you please leave us with your final message to voters?
Well, you know, there's a Kennedy quote that I want to use to guide me on how my behavior should be as a congressperson, and it goes something like, don't look for the Republican answer, don't look for the Democratic answer, look for the right answer. And don't spend your energies on recriminations of the past. Accept responsibility for the future. And that's kind of the philosophy I want to guide me as a congressman.
And any final priorities you would have for the 6th Congressional District?
Well, I've mentioned protecting Social Security. I've mentioned indexing and raising the minimum wage. I also want to find an adequate, dedicated source of funding for the Highway Trust Fund. And I also want to work on making college more affordable. Part of that issue is more reasonable rates of interest for student loans.
Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure.
Mark Harris is the Winnebago County Executive and the Democratic candidate in the race for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District seat.